I would like to call the July 8th, 2021 Planning and Zoning meeting to order. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Here.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball?
Here.
I'm here. Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
We have 9 present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any additions or adjustments to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Galway Jones, seconded by Mr. Stanton. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the agenda. Looks unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Everyone should have received a copy of the June 24th regular meeting minutes. Were there any additions or adjustments to those meeting minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Stanton. I'll take a thumbs up approval on the minutes. Looks unanimous. Thank you again. Our first order of business is a tabling request, case 140-2021, a request by a civil group on behalf of Boone Development, Inc. for a major revision to Arbor Falls plan development to be known as Arbor Falls PD number 4. The new PD plan includes a revised site layout and a revised statement of intent, reflecting a change of use from multifamily units to one-family detached dwelling units, as well as revised design parameters. The proposed PD also revises the on-site amenities previously approved under the Arbor Falls PD, including, but not limited to, removing the previously shown clubhouse and pool, and providing detached garage units for residents and the proposed development. The property is zoned PD, planned development, and is generally located north of Highway WW and south of Pergola Drive, addressed as 5730 Pergola Drive. This item was tabled at the June 10th, 2021 Planning Commission meeting. The applicant requests tabling to the August 19th, 2021 Planning Commission meeting. Any staff comments on the tabling request?
Staff is supportive of that request. It is allowing the applicant to do some additional public outreach with the adjoining property owners to the east. Just for the purposes of letting you all know that our staff did notify the adjoining property owners of the request for tabling to the August 19th. They sent out 33 letters on July 1st to the adjoining property owners with the revised date. We have also sent emails to the 11 individuals that contacted Ms. Smith regarding the project's content via email. So the affected parties that were interested in this project have been notified, as well as those that would be notified standard. This is a project that, because of its length of tabling, will require re-advertising. It is also likely that the re-advertised case will also include a slightly revised title that'll be read, because it will have some changes to it. So we will be updating the request, which is going to be based upon the public input that has been received during this period of time that it has been tabled. But with that, the applicant and the applicant's agent is here tonight. If there are additional questions, this was an advertised hearing. If there are any concerned residents that came tonight, they would have the opportunity to speak as it regards to the tabling request.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Before we move to questions for staff, since this was advertised, I'm going to ask if there was any ex parte related to this case, or because I'm going to go ahead and we'll go do the whole thing. Any ex parte related to this case, to please share that with us now so the whole commission has the benefit of all information. I see none. Are there any questions for staff? Seeing none, since this was publicly advertised, we will open up the floor to public comment. If there's anyone here who would like to comment on the tabling of this case to the August 19th meeting. Seeing no public comment, we'll close public comment. Staff comment, Mr. McMahon.
You said staff comment. Did you want staff to comment again?
Sorry, Commissioner comment.
If my fellow commissioners have no questions or concerns, in the matter of case 140-2021, I move to table to date certain 19 August 2021.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Mr. Stanton, sorry. It's that big dinner we were served tonight. Everything's not quite working right. Anyway, we have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we please have roll call?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. That brings us to the next section, subdivision requests. First case and only case is 186-2021. A request by Crockett Engineering Consultants, LLC, on behalf of CJCA Development, Inc., owner to replat 6 lots and parts of 2 lots identified as parcels 17-115-00-03-016.00 to be known as Eastwood Hills, plat number 2. The 3.29-acre site is located on the southeast corner of the intersection of Business Loop 70 and Eastland Circle and is commonly addressed 2518 East Business Loop 70. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Public info was given in the form of postcards in June 7th, gave out 17 postcards. Only spoke with one person on the phone at the time of the staff report. Generally, their main concern, if any, was to do with the private covenants. Other than that, they were mostly happy to see any kind of redevelopment on the site and to see the motel demolished. Just yesterday, I spoke with somebody on the phone who told me that they would send me a letter to forward to you guys, which I've put on the front of your desk as well. They're supportive of this request and are just generally happy to see any redevelopment of the site and, again, to see the motel demolished as well. The site is on the frontage of East Business Loop 70. This aerial imagery is a little old here. If I go to the prior slide, I kind of just want to compare that just as I noticed that. You can see where the connection to I-70 has been taken out and sidewalk has been constructed. So this is the most recent aerial imagery. This site here is the Eastwood Motel on the I-70 Business Loop. decently wooded, as I mentioned. There's some significant trees throughout the site, some large oaks throughout here, 36-inch, 38-inch, just for reference. To the east is a city property, and then to zoned R1, and then as well to the east, south, southwest, etc., single family houses, all zoned R1. This is a replat and consolidation of 6 lots and parts of 2 to facilitate redevelopment. Site is currently zoned MC mixed use corridor. The intent is to demolish the 5 existing structures here, which are vacant from the former Eastwood Motel, and to redevelop that. And I believe the applicant is here as well, and they can discuss their intent of what they will redevelop on this site. No additional right-of-way dedication was necessary with this plat. It does dedicate the necessary 10-foot utility easements, however. Like I mentioned, sidewalk is already existing on the northern frontage on the business loop, but sidewalk will need to be required to be constructed on Eastland Circle to the west. This plat does bring these six lots and parts of two into compliance with the UDC by platting it into one lot. Since all of these, most of these structures are platted over lot lines. One other thing I would mention is that it doesn't create any nonconformities, but there is a nonconformity. The southeasternmost structure here is within the side yard setback next to the city property, but any redevelopment of the site would see that remedied. They wouldn't be able to build or exacerbate that in any way or build within the setback. I did mention in the staff report that we're currently still under review just for some minor technical corrections. Say there's a typo on one word and there's some survey notation. We finished the review today and it was approved, so there aren't any minor technical corrections to make on this plat. As submitted, it was compliant with the UDC. So with that, I'm recommending approval of the Eastwood Hills plat number 2. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Before we move on to commissioner questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to the meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can ask this, Mr. Crockett, too. Does the southeast corner of this flood?
I'm not aware of it flooding. I just know that this site generally floods to the southeast. I believe Hinkson Creek is, 600 feet, something like pretty short distance.
Some of those houses have a lot of water in their backyards. That's kind of wondering it drops off. I'll ask Mr. Crockett. Thanks.
Ms. Galway-Jones.
With the significant trees on the property, does that mean that there'll have to be a preservation plan before they can start demolish and construction?
I know that they will have to go through tree preservation with the building permit, and they'll have to comply with the regulation there. So depending on what they want to do, I haven't seen that part yet, but they will have to go through and comply with, go with recommendations of the arborist in terms of what they're wanting to get rid of and then how those would need to be replaced.
Great. Thank you.
Ms. Rushing?
I have basically the same concerns about this development and then the other one that's on our agenda, in that they both abut single-family residential. In this particular situation, it's pretty, I would say, environmentally sensitive, and I was curious what restrictions might apply to protect the property to the south of this development when it's developed.
Are you talking about the property, let's say, to the southwest, that's kind of between the main part of the property and the puzzle piece? You're talking about that property?
Well, if you drive down in that residential area on both sides, both of those streets, it's heavily wooded, and I saw like deer actually in people's front yards. And so if this is a development that's going to have a lot of traffic coming off of that one street, or a development that is going to, be negatively impact the southern portion of that property, I was curious what restrictions there might be to protect that area.
Gotcha. Yeah, so to begin with, generally there'd be the screening and landscaping provisions. So depending on what the development is, I believe, so it's MC, so commercial property will depend on, I believe the height of it will kind of depend where it lies on what screening provisions will need to provide. In addition to that, this property is MC, and these adjacent properties are R1, so the neighborhood protection standards would apply in terms of screening, step downs, things of that nature.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to public comment. If you have any comment, please give your name and address for the record. We do limit you to 3 minutes if you're speaking for yourself and 6 minutes if you're speaking for a group.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. This is a consolidation plat of six lots and parcel of lots, and so trying to get it into conformity with a legal lot status for the City of Columbia for redevelopment on this property. And to answer some of your questions, Mr. McMahon, with regard to flooding, I don't believe the property itself floods. There may be some downstream water concerns and issues, but all those are addressed in the stormwater management plan that would come forward as the site redevelops. Those standards don't apply to the site as it currently sits, given its current status, but any redevelopment would conform to the current stormwater regulations, so that would help mitigate those items. With regards to the significant trees on the property, we can demo the site without needing any issue with the significant trees. We can't remove any of the trees without filing a land disturbance permit or land disturbance plan with the city. My client is very cognizant of those trees. We have to develop the site. We have to lose a few. They are extremely, I don't want to put it, giving me a very clear direction to save as many of those as possible, not just the minimum, but as many as possible. They see the benefit not just for the area themselves, but for this piece of property. This development, my client is the owner is the owner of New Horizons, which has various properties in town. And so what they're looking for is kind of an interim location for a residential facility. So what they have is they provide 24-hour care, a lot of their facilities. And what they are experiencing is that they're preparing them to get back into normal lifestyle. However, that middle step is missing. And so that's what they want to prepare, and that's what they like to have this site for. So they have a specific use in mind, and so that's what they're looking for. Ms. Rushing, with regards to your comments, the UDC is very clear with regards to a MC zone property that abuts a residential zone property such as this, with regards to buffers, with regards to setbacks, how wide those setbacks are, how wide those buffers are, how tall those buffers are, and then how far our buildings need to be back off of that given the various heights of the building. And so all that is very clear in the UDC and very set up for a specific reason just like this. And so that is something that the old zoning code didn't have, but the new UDC, or as to call it new, the current UDC has that we didn't have before was for specific situations like this. And so I think that the UDC covers that very well. Again, I believe it's a fairly straightforward request, and I'm happy to answer any other questions that the commission may have.
Any questions for Mr. Crockett?
Are they, do you know whether they're planning on demoing those existing buildings?
They are. They'd like to build new. They're in rough shape.
They are.
When they originally bought the property, the intent was to keep them and try to rehab them. But I think after further review and gone through with architectural review, it just wasn't really worth, they couldn't salvage them. It was far gone.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Crockett, will this be one of these federally licensed facilities? Is it a hospital?
No, it's not a hospital.
So it's not like the landmark facility on the old highway?
No, no.
Transitional housing, is that?
I don't want to speak out of turn exactly what it is, but it's my understanding is what they have now is they have several of these facilities throughout, and they provide 24-hour care in these facilities. And they prepare individuals to get back to be able to take care of themselves and, you know, watch their medication and all of that all by themselves, and they introduce them back into regular housing. However, what they see is those individuals are coming back through the process again because they don't have someone to call or someone, you know, that intermediate need. They don't need 24-hour supervision or 24-hour care, but they do need some services in case they need some help, they have a concern, have a problem, they need, you know, somebody close by that they can rely on, but they don't need the 24-hour services. And so I believe it's my understanding that's what this facility will fill.
Any additional questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Commission comment. Ms. Burns.
This might be a question for staff. So if we continue with the replat, would this come back before us in a development plan?
No, I don't believe so. It's open zone, so they would just see the land disturbance and building permit on staff side.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Madam Chair, thank you.
This is for Mr. Kelly, and I guess for all of us. It would seem that, you know, we've all expressed concerns about the flooding. This area has some flooding south of it. It certainly does. That's why it's the question. We have the trees. We have the natural aspect of it as well. If they can preserve the trees, and I know they're not obligated to be as forthcoming as they can be on that, and they are going to focus on the protections that are afforded by the UDC, particularly the storm aspect of it, and keeping the trees should make, actually better than it is, should make the property a better neighbor to that neighborhood than what's currently there. Do you guys think I'm missing something by making that assessment? Because it does, the water does run off like crazy to the south. I just didn't know if it pooled up. What are your all's thoughts? I mean, I think it's better than Eastwood. I admire you guys for thinking that you could do something with that building, but I have been in it.
We've received a letter in support of developing the property from an adjacent neighbor.
Yeah, I have some friends who live all the way down.
More than ready to have that property developed. My understanding is this is the support, or is representative of what the neighborhood would like. I'm just following up on your comments, Mr. McMahon.
I received that indirectly once that property was abandoned. It has chronic temporary occupants, and it is somewhat problematic. So I know that most folks down there would be positively.
And to add to your list is Ms. Rushing's concern, and I agree the UDC now includes neighborhood protections, which, given that these are single-family properties,
they'll have the maximum
would be
buffer.
Preferred. Yeah, right, would be awarded the maximum level 3 buffer.
I think it may depend on how tall it is, if it's like 1 to 3 stories, I think, in the screening table.
Okay.
But, yeah, potentially.
Right. But depending on how it is developed.
Yes.
Right. So if it is more residential care and a lower development that is more compatible with the residential, then as maximum buffering may not be necessary. Correct. All right. Any additional discussion? Mr. McMahon.
If my fellow commissioners have no other comments or questions, in the matter of case 1862021, request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of CJCA Development to replat all of 6 and part of 2 lots into 1 lot, into a development called Eastwood Hills, plat number 2, I move to approve.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Stanton.
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to our public hearings portion of the agenda. Our first case is case 193-2021, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of JAJ LLC, seeking rezoning of 2.78 acre property located at 5530 Bull Run Drive. The applicants are requesting to rezone the property from PD, Plan Development, to MC, Mixed Use Corridor, to facilitate development of the property with mixed commercial and office uses. May we have a staff report, please?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Real quick, I have actually combined the staff reports, so if you would go ahead and read the second case as well, that'd be great.
Gladly. So our next and final case is case 194-2021, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of JAJ LLC, seeking rezoning of 4.73 acres from PD plan development to MN mixed-use neighborhood to facilitate development of the property with a multi-use event space defined as assembly or lodge hall. This subject property is located at 705 Port Way.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Go ahead and get started. So real quick, on the public notice front, we sent public postcards on the 3rd of June, and then ad and letters were mailed on the 22nd of June. This property on your screen now, the Port Way property, had a few more recipients than the Bull Run property just because of its adjacency to the single family. There's more lots there within the buffer. So they received 25 of those were sent and 11 were sent for the Bull Run property. So here's a little aerial perspective view of the site. Again, I've kind of combined this, so I apologize. We'll be kind of jumping back and forth from site to site and zoning to zoning, but hopefully I've done a good job with the presentation here. We'll all stay on the same page. So the big thing you see here, the roundabout there, that's Bull Run and Port Way. Bull Run extends along over to the east and kind of the south or the lower right hand corner there, the tree line you see, that's our solar farm project. It's not in this image, it's a little older image, but then immediately to the west of that, there is a vacant lot with a the former Ashley Furniture Store that's now the Equipment Share headquarters, which you guys saw a case for, I believe, at the last meeting or maybe the meeting before. So as you can tell, there is a push for some development in this neighborhood. To the north, there's the Holiday Inn Hotel, and I just bring that up because I know the lot immediately adjacent to that is now under construction. I'm not sure what that is. It's a gym. So I just happened to notice that when I was taking some site photos, so wanted to bring that up. So this is fairly clear from the image here, but the property to the north there, they're searching for or seeking the MC zoning, and then to the south, MN. At the concept review phase, the request was MC on the entirety of the two parcels, and our review kind of indicated that MC likely wasn't really appropriate in that property closest to the residential. The uses on the property generally fit within MN zoning, but we did agree that MC was more appropriate on the busier street frontage. It matches it matches kind of the development pattern that we're seeing out there now. And then also the MN allows for some added protections. A lot of those similar uses are still allowed via conditional use permit process. So I'll get into that in a minute, but that was kind of our thinking there. So overall, the site is 7.63 acres. The lot 102E here, the northern lot, is 2.78 acres, and the southern lot is 4.73. The proposed development at this point is a two-lot mixed-use commercial development. The MC lot would be for restaurant, office, and retail uses. I'll show you a site plan, a preliminary site plan here in a second. The MN lot, the applicant has indicated an interest in an assembly or lodge hall on that property, which would be, you know, like a wedding venue type place or an Elks Lodge or something of that nature. But at the concept review meeting, they indicated an interest by partners like Equipment Share, I guess it would be EAG or Eurofins now, to have an off-campus site for corporate meetings and so on and so forth. So that's kind of the general idea of what they plan on that site. And just a quick note, the conditional use permit for that lodge and assembly hall was just recently submitted, so that will be coming to you shortly in a future meeting. So a little bit of background on the property. It was originally zoned CP upon its annexation, I believe in 2001. At the time, the permitted uses were all C3 uses with the exception of farm machinery sales and service. That was a specific request by the neighboring property owners. That is the only restriction in that plan district. At the time, statements of intent were not required, so they basically just stated that all C3 uses with the exception. There were no other, I already said that, there's no other limitations, but so what you're looking at here is the CP plan. You can see there is a, it is kind of hard to read, but there's a single building kind of along the rear of lot 102E. And then 102C shows some expansion of parking and access to the rear of the other adjoining lots, and then is designated for future development. So the idea there was that they didn't really have a plan for that site at the time, other than they would use some of it for stormwater and for landscaping and screening purposes. And then in the future, they would come back with a standalone PD plan, development plan for that property. We're at that point, and it's been to their benefit, they think, to request the rezoning at this point. So as part of the part of the CP plan, the 50-foot landscape and utility easement was created on the south edge of lot 102C. You can see that with this dashed line. That was, I believe it was a requirement of the CP district at the time, was to have a screening device in that location. We've since added that in the UDC and the neighborhood protection standards and the screening and buffer standards. They went above and beyond to create the 50-foot buffer, and they then subsequently built a berm in some locations as high as 10 feet, just based on the surrounding topography. But they went another step further and actually recorded that as an easement on the subsequent plat. So the rezoning aspect that you guys are considering tonight will not impact that. It will remain in place. And like any other easement, would have to be vacated before it would ever go away. So just wanted to note that for sure. Just a couple quick site photos. This is the berm from the south. I kind of cut it off, but there's a street, I believe, right in this location. It is kind of a circuitous route to get to that point from where these two properties will be developed. But that is where probably the deepest impact would be seen, is this southeast corner where they abut, and then also that'll be where the building is located in the future. Again, I'll show you a site development plan here in a moment that shows a building envelope on this site. So you can see there's a dead-end street there. This property was developed in the county. And then this berm was built to close the street fairly permanently. And so we didn't pursue any type of cul-de-sac bulb in this location or anything. But we basically didn't want to impact that berm or the landscaping that was there. So again, this is just farther up the street, a little closer look. Maybe some maintenance issues, but the berm is there. It does provide screening, and it is grown up. It's matured some plantings on there so that there's kind of a landscaping effect to it too. So here's the proposed site plan. So you can see the design for lot 102E has slightly been fairly modified to four individual buildings, two of which have drive-through facilities at the rear of the lot that won't be visible from the major roadways, and parking on the outsides adjacent to like the Jimmy John's restaurant that's in existence out there. The south site, again, has the building envelope kind of here where our site is labeled. Again, it shows the 50-foot buffer remaining on the site. And then the development that has happened on 102C was stormwater mitigation. So these are retention ponds. I believe the intent is for the bulk of that to remain, and I believe this smaller one closest to where the building location was, I believe they indicated that would be placed underground. But the general idea is to maintain those and amenitize them so that they become a site feature that is usable, open space for the workers and the guests of the property. So, applicant, okay. As I said, the applicant does have some prospective tenants, so this is not deemed all that speculative. Obviously, there's always a chance for turnover or changes in plans, but they do currently have some ideas about what uses will go in there. And as I said, it's a mix of restaurant, retail, and some office functions as well, and then again, the assembly lodge on the south lot. So staff does believe that the proposed zoning districts are consistent with the approved PD. The C3 uses were directly translated into our MC zoning, and so the existing uses are fairly consistent with what would be permitted in the MC zoning. The exception to that being that the MN is probably really a downzoning of lot 102C. Again, a lot of those uses are permitted. The more intensive uses are still permitted, but by way of a conditional use permit. And I've got a table here that will explain that in a moment. I guess I got ahead of myself a little bit. One other issue that will be impacted that I wanted to make sure to note is setbacks. It's kind of a trade-off here, if you will, but the current CP plan required a 6-foot side yard setback and then 25 feet on all street frontages. The MN actually would widen that to 10 feet adjacent to residential. Again, though, that setback would be along the south side where we already have a 50-foot buffer, so that will be above and beyond what is required. The one kind of downturn in the setbacks would be the MC, which actually would permit a zero setback on the side yards, except where on the corner or adjacent to residential, and this MC lot would be neither of those. So they would be allowed a zero setback. Again, they're just they're using the outer edges of their site for parking, so there will be no building form there, no mass in that location. Again, the front yard setbacks are 25 regardless. The CP plan required it, and the MN and the MC both required it as well. I did that already. Okay, so here's the table that was included in your staff report for the 705 Port Way property. It does apply to the Bull Run property, but it was more illustrative of what was taking place with the rezoning to MN. I added a note here in the red. Everything in the left-hand column is basically what's permitted by the MC district. The middle column would be what the CP zoning permits or requires, and then the third column on the right would be the comparison with the properties down zone to MN. The big things, again, you'll notice that some of the more intensive uses, funeral homes, mortuaries, assembly lodge hall, veterinary hospitals, bar nightclubs, light vehicle service repair, those all require a conditional use permit in the MN zoning, but would have been permitted in the MC, which is one reason we kind of nudged them in this direction. Again, that gives us the opportunity to maybe allow you guys a review of those uses before they are approved and allowed on this property. Another thing to note, that MC does permit newly created uses in the UDC. It's just a note to make sure you're aware. Things like urban ag, tree and landscaping services, and outdoor recreation and entertainment didn't actually exist in the code when this original CP was created, and they were added in the UDC because they're generally they were kind of included in other uses maybe in the old code, and they've been separated out as individual uses in the new code to make it a little more specifically oriented. So just to make sure I've touched everything. Again, the heavy vehicle sales and service is what we now call the farm machinery sales and service, or it is included in that. That is the one specific exclusion in the CP, and that would still not be permitted in the MN, so we're not allowing a use that they explicitly excluded the first time. So, okay. So one of the things that we considered when reviewing the case this time around was public comment that we received the first time around. And again, they were opposed to any type of heavy machinery sales and service. They also indicated some concerns about stormwater and traffic and landscaping, like they would, you know, most developments get. They kind of stir up those types of comments. As we stated in our last case, the stormwater ordinance is now in place. That did not exist when this was originally approved, the CP was originally approved. The traffic impacts will be similar, if not lighter, than what was originally approved through the CP plan. The uses are relatively lighter than what is currently allowed on the property, so the impacts would also be. The other thing is the landscaping utility easement does exceed any code requirement regardless of the CP plan approval time or now. That would be above and beyond anything that we would require of them in terms of screening the property to the south. So the other thing that we considered was that there were no other objections in the CP ordinance. So while there were these concerns, it seemed as though they were adequately addressed during that process. And again, the only thing was the limitation on the use. So because of that, the exclusion of any specific protections or limitations in the CP ordinance, the MC and MN, they do make the same protections that were afforded by the CP plan, generally speaking. Again, the MC translate directly from the C3, and so most of what was permitted by the C3 or therefore the condition or the CP plan is still permitted, and the move has kind of been more towards those heavier uses being not permitted now that may have been permitted with the CP plan. Again, the MN further restricts the uses on lot 102C, which is considered a positive thing due to the adjacency to the residential. While a PD plan is affording the commission and council and the public, in essence, to review and have some oversight on the development of the property. The purpose of, or one major purpose of the UDC was to afford those protections on a standard basis. And so we believe that the UDC has those protections built in. Last thing, the MN zoning does permit the oversight for any of those intensive uses. Again, the CUP process will come before you guys through a public hearing. And so any bar or nightclub, assembly lodge hall, I forget the other uses I mentioned, but any of those more heavily trafficked or noise producing or nuisance producing uses will have to go through that process given the MN zoning that's proposed here. So, All right, so with that, our staff recommendation is broken into two pieces. I believe you'll just have the two motions, and so I've hopefully laid that out there for you in a legible format. But we would recommend approval of both requests on the property. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move to commission questions, I'd like to ask any commissioners who have had any experte related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Ms. Placer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, on the issue of assembly or lodge hall, which sounded a little, you know, old-fashioned to me, or I was having a little trouble envisioning it, but you also mentioned the term event center. Mm-hmm. How do you decide and under what category this potential building would?
So, so basically it's based on the definitions we have in our code. The two options that kind of jumped out in the beginning of the review process were the assembly and lodge hall and indoor entertainment or recreation as the other kind of option in our use categories or uses in the table, if you will. The definition of indoor entertainment and recreation leans more towards, indoor tennis courts or rock climbing, things where you're actually involved in an event or an activity. The assembly or lodge hall is kind of an antiquated name for what is essentially an event center. Like I said, it'll be an indoor open space that would allow for gatherings, you know. So I imagine the intent would be to rent it to, weddings or corporate events or anything of that nature where you'll have a number of people that'll come together.
Well, just to follow up on that it puzzled me if it were an event center, why the limited amount of parking for it?
Yeah, and that would be based on the size of the building, the square footage. So, and again, that site is, while it's planned for development, I think it is not quite to the planning phase that the other property is at this point. And so they've indicated some parking there. It may be more, it may be less, just depending on the size of the building.
Maybe that's a question better addressed to the...
Sure.
Mr. McMahon.
Just real quick. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Palmer, for suggesting the split in MC and MN. Maybe a correction, maybe not. Can you return to page one of your discussion? I think there's an addition error, and it may not make any difference. You talked about the size of the lots.
That one there?
Correct. Bullet point one, those numbers don't add up. Does that make a difference?
No, they're separate.
But we don't...
I do know the 2.78 and the 4.73.
As long as we don't have to...
I'm not sure where that...
I was concerned about making a motion to make sure everything's correct when they are approved.
Yeah, just ignore the seven, the overall number, the 763.
Okay, and I will ignore it. I just want to make sure that we're in the right...
I'm assuming
good
it's
page.
A typo, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions for staff? Ms. Galway-Jones.
This may also be something for the applicant. I know that we often don't like single developments being split zoned this way. I understand that there may be, with the single family housing and everything and the extra buffers, there may be a reason to do this. But is this being developed as a single site, or is it being developed as two sites just with an overall area plan in mind?
Yeah, it is two distinct lots, two legal lots. So while it is a common scheme of development, so to speak, it will be, it's considered two lots, two sites.
this isn't going to be a precursor to a replat or anything where we try to combine
No, the properties are primed for development in terms of legal lot status, so it'll just be that's what the zoning districts are based on, is the existing lots.
Wanted to make sure we weren't creating a situation that we'll hate down the road. Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? I just wanted to echo Mr. McMahon's commendation for proposing the two zoning, because I do, as you know, have issues with the MC up against the residential, especially R1. So with that, we will open the floor to public comment. If you can give your name and address for the
members of the commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. Yes, as Mr. Palmer stated, this is a two-lot development. We are asking for different zonings for each individual lot. The project started out, we did go in to the plan department, ask them what their thought was on the zoning of this piece of property, and this is what they came back with, was the recommendation was the split zoning. We did ask, you know, maybe do all MC, and they recommended keeping the MN next to the neighborhood with a conditional use permit, given the fact that we knew what we wanted to do with the event center to the south. And so we, you know, that's fine with us. We know what we want to do, and we concur with that's probably the best route to go. I will say, of the MN of lot 102C, which contains 4.73 acres, the majority of that is indeed already used for stormwater management. There's a detention basin and two bioretention cells on that property. So really, the amount of that piece of property that can be developed is rather limited. So I don't want to paint the picture we're going to be developing that entire piece of property, but we're going to leave most of it alone as it's currently functioning. We do want to enhance it a little bit. You've been around town, you've seen these bioretention cells, you've seen the detention basins, and some of them are fairly attractive and others are not. And what they want to do here is they want to make it an amenity to the event center. They want to have a lawn area behind the event center in which that this these bioretention cells can be plantings. They can, you know, they use the sheltered garden as an example. I mean, it'll, you know, may not be to that scale, but something very nice, something very pleasing, something that we can put walkways and pathways through that can help, you know, help with that event center and make it very nice. And so that's their desire for that. Rusty, if you would go back to our sketch that you have, there we go. And if you recall what the original CP looked like for, yes, the original CP plan looked like for lot 102E, it was a large, I think it's roughly 23, 24,000 square foot, basically a strip center building. What we want to do is we want to do four smaller buildings. And the configuration at this location, one thing that Mr. Palmer didn't indicate, is we really want the outdoor space between those four buildings as a prime use area. What we're looking for is we're having a lot of interest from smaller, you know, smaller kitchens, smaller restaurants, you know, folks who want to maybe have a service window and really have an outdoor element, really have an area where you can come out, you can, you know, you get a burger at one place, you get a drink at another place, you get ice cream at another place, really kind of an outdoor seating area and use. And so really, while we have four different distinct smaller buildings, we also want to really enhance the use of the outdoor element as well. That's very unique. I think it's going to go more toward, you know, smaller businesses and more localized businesses. And so that was one element that we wanted to talk about a little bit. My clients did have neighborhood meetings with the neighbors to the south. They had two different neighborhood meetings with the two HOAs. I don't believe there was much of a concern with the consensus at that time. Was the majority of the people really, you know, liked the idea, not only for neighbors, but also for businesses that they can utilize. And, you know, they liked that type of idea that's being proposed. So we didn't have any issues from either of those two meetings. As Mr. Palmer indicated, the uses that we're proposing are going to be lighter than what's currently allowed under the current CP plan. Again, we talked about the stormwater facilities. We want to make sure that's an enhancement for the area. And Ms. Placer, this is going to go in with your comment just a little bit. We also have a lot of the business support. We have support from the hotel. We have support from Equipment Share. While this is an event center, I mean, again, we call it an assembly and lodge. That's just because that's what's in the code, but it is a small event center. And what the hotel is really looking for places like that. They have folks that call them and say, do you have meeting space that we can utilize? They don't have large spaces that they can utilize in the hotel. So the hotel is excited about a situation like this. Equipment Share is excited about a situation like this because they can utilize our facility as well. And while we are looking for, you know, having some larger events out there potentially, we also can't negate the smaller ones. And that's something that we don't have in the market right now with the smaller event places. What we don't want to do is go out here and overpark the situation. We don't want to park for our absolute maximum capacity. So what we're doing there is we're working with shared parking arrangements with equipment share, with the hotel, as well as our own commercial development to the north so that we can have shared parking arrangements for the larger situations. That way we don't have a large parking lot next to a residential neighborhood that goes completely vacant the vast majority of the time. And so that's the reason why it's a little bit smaller, because it's going to curtail to the smaller events, no problem. The larger events will have overflow parking across the street and nearby. And so that's kind of the reason for that and reason why our parking is how we're wanting to structure it. Again, with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. The owners are here to talk about, you know, answer any questions that you may have with regards to what they envision or what they see taking place out there. But again, we think it's going to be good for the area, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Ms. Rushing?
I was wondering whether you had any plans for any internal sidewalks. I know you mentioned walkways, but I'm looking the lower lot along the north side. Are there any plans for any?
Yes, we're gonna have walkways that connect the event center that ties it to the commercial area. Yes, we will have pedestrian walkways, absolutely, as well as along the streets as well that are there. But we will have internal walkways as well, absolutely.
Additional questions for the speaker? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Crockett. Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, we will close public comment. Commission comment. Mr. McMahon.
This is a commendation to the owners and to Mr. Crockett and the staff on this one. Oftentimes, I know this area is not really built out yet, but oftentimes when we're up against this, and I know Commissioner Lowe has seen this, it is a struggle to get the things that came to us ready-made. Ms. Burns also knows this. We often will, you know, sidewalks, trees, stormwater, and like, okay, this is what you guys want. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. And staff, we didn't have to pull out the two different zonings and stuff. So I just want to make that comment because it makes our life easier, and I think it will make the city a better place and this a more functional development going forward.
Hopefully
profitable, guys.
Mr. Zenner often says he knows his commission, and I feel like, yes.
Trust me, we packaged this one just for you.
I don't know.
I also appreciate the communication with the adjacent neighborhoods. It seems like you have a good idea of what the neighbors are looking for and what they expect to encounter. It seems like a well thought out plan.
Ms. Burns.
And so, Mr. Palmer, you want two motions on this?
Yeah, just as they're laid out there on the screen for you.
So let's see. I'm going to start with the case 193-2021, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of JAJ LLC, seeking rezoning of 2.78-acre property located at 5530 Bull Run Drive. The applicants are requesting to rezone the property from PD to MC to facilitate the development of a property with mixed commercial and office use. I recommend approval.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on the motion? This is the PD to MC. Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
9 votes. The motion carries.
Thank you. Ms. Burns?
Oh, why not? In the matter of case number 194-20221, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of JAJ LLC seeking rezoning of 4.73 acres from PD to MN to facilitate development of the property with a multi-use event space defined as assembly or lodge hall. I recommend approval.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our cases for the evening. Any additional public comments? Seeing none, staff comments.
Your next meeting will be July 22nd, as we mentioned in the work session. We do have a number of items that will be covered on that agenda, 5 to be exact. So your upcoming cases are as follows. 4 subdivision actions, which is an anomaly. We haven't had that in a while. So we have a rezoning or a subdivision request to establish legal lot status at 107 North William Street. This is a former nursing home facility used right now as an apartment building that is looking to be redeveloped, the site to be redeveloped, and in order to establish legal lot status, the platting action is required. So this is one of these that's a technical requirement. The property has not been platted previously and therefore is coming before you. We have a request off of Ballinger Lane. This is the site of Victory Christian Church. This is a preliminary plat, if I'm not incorrect, showing 4 potential lots, one of the larger lots being the church itself. There are required improvements along Ballinger. The platting action as a preliminary plat allows for those public improvements to be allocated out amongst the lots within the development. The church, as many of you may be aware, is there. It is functional and has been, if I'm not incorrect, for a little bit more than a year to 2 years. And we've previously had discussion with the applicant before as it related to this property. If I'm not incorrect, a recommendation came through this planning commission seeking a sidewalk waiver, which did not materialize at council. So it should be an interesting case. We may have a design adjustment or two that go along with this at this point, but we're still in the review cycle, so I can't give you all the details. We have another project, which was an annexation, the subject of an annexation and permanent zoning request, 200 West Old Plank. That, again, is another technical-related issue. This is a non-legal lot, previously unplatted, and is coming before the commission. It has frontage directly on Old Plank Road and has access to utilities. It will have the standard required public improvements that will be necessary to make the lot legally developable. Sidewalks, some roadway dedication requirements, if my recollection serves me correctly. This is not one that will require any design adjustments either. And then Roxy Point, what a sexy name.
Is that for the record, Pat?
Yes. It is an unaddressed parcel, so that is why I had to refer to it by its subdivision name. It is off of Sinclair Road. This is just immediately to the north of the access to the Lake Arrowhead development, almost directly across from the Cascades. This is a piece of the MU property on its very southern end that is proposed to be a single one-lot final plat. There are some infrastructure-related issues with this as well. This is a parcel that was actually transferred to the current property owner through the exemption that the university has at its discretion because it's a state entity. So normally we wouldn't allow subdivision activity to occur without going through a platting process. However, the property was transferred from the university to the current owner without that required plat, and this platting action will actually establish legal lot status on it so the owner can obtain a building permit. And then the last item that you will have on the agenda is the conditional use that we just talked about for 705 Port Way. So we will discuss the assembly lodge or the assembly lodge hall definition probably in greater detail as to how we arrived at this. Mr. Palmer and I did discuss after the concept review what was the most appropriate, and given the explanation that you heard this evening, we have identified that assembly lodge hall meets the criteria for what they're wanting to do. As a conditional use, as we have discussed previously, and maybe for the new commissioners, I don't think we've done a conditional use with you at this point. The conditional use process allows the commission to make recommendation to city council to apply particular conditions to the use that's being sought. And those conditions often have to have a rational nexus to the potential impacts that that use may have on its adjoining neighbors. And so as we evaluate the scale of the proposed structure and any other development that would be associated with this the proposed use, we're probably going to also come out with suggested standards that may need to be applied that may go beyond what the UDC typically would require. In some instances, however, we may believe after doing the analysis, no additional conditions are necessary because we believe that the UDC would apply the right conditions to regulate the site effectively. Neighborhood protection standards, which was mentioned here this evening, is a grouping of standards that did not exist in the old code, and it will further mitigate some of the impacts that a event-type activity area would create from light spillage and a variety of other factors. The 50-foot buffer also provides some significant and enhanced protections that just generally you don't find. So there are a lot of things that are going for that site as it relates to this, but the idea of this conditional use and why it is here is because with this type of activity, you may get excessive traffic. And therefore, we want to consider those types of things. How does ingress egress work? How does pedestrian circulation work? Things of that nature. And the conditional use has the ability for you to attach those conditions, for example, the construction of the sidewalk along the northern portion of this lot. That can become a part of it because that will allow then safe pedestrian travel between maybe the overflow parking and the subject site. So those are the types of things that we'll be thinking about and bringing to you with the request itself. These are the five items, and we are slowly but surely, as I'm looking at our calendar moving forward, our agendas are starting to level out. We are starting to see probably about 3 to 5 cases per agenda. Our volumes are not slowing down. We do have a number of significantly sized projects that are in the pipeline at this point that we are waiting to see received. So as we continue to move through the remaining portion of this fiscal year, which ends at the end of September, I would suggest to you that it is very possible we will see some pretty significant projects as we move forward. We've got some real technical issues that we're working out on many of them, and that is one reason why they've been a little bit more slowed. I would like to just update you as it relates to the actions at Old Hawthorne North, which we discussed 2 meetings ago. That was an item that was discussed at council's meeting. The public hearing on the annexation was held on Tuesday night. At that meeting, the remaining ordinances that were to be processed for introduction on the July 19th meeting were asked to be indefinitely tabled. So it is our understanding at this point that we will not be producing any introductory ordinances for permanent zoning for the rezoning of the common lots in Old Hawthorne or the preliminary plat at this point until we are further notified by the applicant. I don't know what that means. I know that we are still awaiting some technical changes to the preliminary plat, aside from the denial of the design adjustments that the commission made. So that project right now is in a holding pattern. So if you're watching council's agendas and wondering where it is, that's what's happening with it. We also have several projects that are on that are to the one project to the north and east of Old Hawthorne North off of Richland, and then one property further out to the east at the intersection of Route Z and Richland Road that are potential pending projects as well. So that corridor appears to be priming for development, which is not something that we would not have expected as it relates to our lack of availability of infrastructure, sanitary infrastructure in the southwest portions of the city, which is where we have historically seen most of our development growth. So we are starting to potentially see a shift in focus, which this evening's meeting in work session talking about our capital projects for the coming fiscal year, many of the questions that were asked by Mr. McMahon as it relates to how are we prepared for east area growth are appropriate. And
I meant to say west. Apologies.
But our east area growth is probably where we anticipate seeing in the short term some significant opportunities. The west area plan, just so we're all aware, the west area plan is still in a holding pattern at this point. We are desirous to ensure that we can have more public engagement as we move into the process, more traditional public engagement. We are also awaiting probably a project that may stimulate the discussion to engage in the West Area Plan in a more expeditious manner. And we have not received that yet either. The utilities folks talked about extensions of Strawn, of utilities in the Strawn Road area, which is an annexation that we had taken in several years ago. It was donated by Mr. Potterfield. And that is an area that also has the extension of Scott Boulevard that runs through it. So the utility improvements would correspond to a previously approved plat. That is going to have an impact as it relates to the project that we are waiting on. So there is a correlation, I believe, there. However, the parcel that is seeking potential annexation is actually has access to our city sewer and is currently served by other utilities by our partner agencies. So we have to wait on that, but that is one of the, I think, the projects that may stimulate further discussion. We have a number of other items, however, on the commission's agenda. Council is aware of that, and they have not pushed significantly for us to engage in the West Area Plan at this point. However, if we are asked to do so, you'll be informed, because we will need to re-engage with the county's planning commission at that point. The other thing I would like to talk or mention as well is at Tuesday night's council meeting, the report as it related to the lot density and our lot area and density study that you had asked us to produce, that was acknowledged by council, and the authorization was to move forward with that. We will probably bring something back to the council as a status report, if not a proposed revisions within probably 6 months. So we will roll that in to some of the upcoming regulatory discussions that we will be having with regulatory changes. Mr. Smith will most likely be presenting at the beginning of August a tentative list of proposed UDC amendments that we will be bringing forward in what we refer to as phase three in my absence. So you will expect to probably have a presentation by other staff for that evening. I will be out of town enjoying myself for a needed vacation. With that, that's all we have to offer for this evening. Thank you very much for your attention, and we look forward to having a discussion at the July 22nd meeting as it relates to your CIP memo.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments. Mr. McMahon.
I have a quick comment for both staff, which maybe they can communicate that, and the commission, particularly commission members who are new. And then I have a motion if no one else has a comment. And regarding the potential, some of you guys may remember this, sidewalk conflict on Ballinger Road. Just a reminder, the sidewalks to the northeast portion of the city have been pushed because of a series of deaths along the roads where there are no sidewalks. So you might pass that along, that that ditch is just as deep as it was before. And?
Motion?
And my motion is as follows. I move to adjourn.
Second it.
Second by Ms. Kimball. We are adjourned. Thank you.